Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living a great life without all of the stress. My name is Angela Council and I am a naturopath and lifestyle mentor. And this week I'm joined by someone who has an absolutely fascinating background of what he's done. It's Rosalie Vaz, and he's the host of Australia's number one food podcast called Bon Appetit, where he talks about uniting entrepreneurs through food and fixing their relationship with foods. But the thing with Rosalie is he's actually very, very diverse in what he does. He runs two main businesses, one being Bon Appetit, which is his chef business, and then he also runs a podcasting business where he actually teaches people how to do podcasting. Rosalie's been a he's been cooking for over 19 years, and he has had his own fresh food restaurant, and he's worked in other kitchens with lots of other chefs as well. But he also has a master's degree in software engineering, an MBA in psychology and leadership. And so, as you can see, Rosalie does lots of different things. So welcome to the podcast today, Rosalie.
That was the longest introduction I ever got. Thank you, Angela. Thanks for having me.
And I left half of it out.
It's not as flash as it sounds, but there's some big words in there.
But you have had a really diverse background on what you've done and where you started and where you are now. And I know that you've had quite a few pivots in your time. So talk to us about how you got to be doing what you're doing. What's your story?
Wow, in five minutes. I don't know whether that's going to be possible. I have a short attention span. Let's just say that, right? So, I try a whole different a whole bunch of different things, and I think living in Australia allows me to do that. So I'm a trained software engineer. So by profession, I suppose I'm a software engineer. I'm Indian. We first build software engineers, and then we decide what we want to do with the rest of our lives. I worked in corporate for a little while. I never actually thought of myself as an entrepreneur, which is really funny, because now no one will see me in any other way. But when my dad said to me, hey, just take over the business, why don't you just do that? And I said, no, I don't want to be in construction for the rest of my life, and I don't want to have the stress of owning a business. I just want to do my 9-to-5 and come home. And he's like, you're an idiot. But something bit me, something happened, and I just saw opportunities everywhere. So whenever I got a chance to get involved with an opportunity, I sort of dove in. So I did stuff from, opening and running my own restaurant to a chefing business, and now a digital media agency, and running events. So, whatever floats my boat at the time, I suppose it's what I get my hands dirty in.
So because you've basically been a chef for many, many years, haven't you? And in essence, from what I understand, is you go into people's homes and you cook for them, and you were very well known as a chef, a private chef that used to do that stuff.
Yeah.
How did you then get to have the number one podcast in food? How did that happen?
I don't know. People thought, oh, this is an Indian dude talking. It's going to be a funny show. Let me listen to that. I was cooking for all these high-end individuals, and while they were getting a lot of good results, I thought that the kind of information that I was stumbling across getting involved in the food scene, and the more I found out, the more horrible it got, and the more I kind of went, people need to know about this, and it worried me. I suppose a big turning moment was me sitting at a food court, and it was about 3 o'clock, and I got the last salad of sumo salad. It was really funny because school just was out for the day, and there was this massive queues outside McDonald's and KFC, and these kids were exchanging these little coupons for nuggets in both the establishments, and every other one every other establishment was empty, including a kebab store and other places. And the sad part was these kids couldn't even make it to their table without panting. And I was like, well, you know, I think our knowledge around food needs to improve, and we need to understand exactly what is going into our body, because if at that age your comfort food turns out to be nuggets, then it's going to land up becoming a trend through your life. And I just wanted to get out to more people, so I created the podcast.
And were you worried at any stage that having that podcast where you were starting to share some of the secrets about the food industry, how that may impact your chefing business? Or were you quite comfortable in the what you were doing within that business wasn't a conflict?
I'm the kind of person that will do something and ask for forgiveness later. And it doesn't even strike me. It's really funny. Like, I won't get nervous if I'm going onto stage until I'm on the stage. I've tried to preempt that. It doesn't happen. So I didn't really think that far ahead.
See, that's a typical engineering thing. Because I've done project management, and that's what we do in project management. You just do and ask for forgiveness later. So I think that's what they teach all engineering students.
Probably.
Just put the bridge up. It doesn't matter if it falls down, then ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, then we'll do some. We'll have some more work at it later.
That's right. Yeah. Because what you're doing, I mean, and I know that you just started out with this idea that you were going to share a few secrets, but it became bigger than Ben-Hur almost, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, again, one of the things that I was, I didn't really start the podcast to monetize the podcast. I started the podcast just primarily to get the word out. And I kind of didn't even think of the kind of guests that I have on the show. It's only after maybe the first 15 episodes that I kind of went, wait a minute, I can actually, you know, talk to some pretty cool people. And then I started understanding the impact that a podcast would have, and I started learning about how I could have these conversations with people for an hour, and then they would be really good friends after that, which is kind of cool, because I wouldn't have the opportunity or the platform to have those conversations otherwise. So it kind of really evolved. Initially, it was just to get the word out. Then I started developing all these relationships. Then I started looking at my stats, and I was like, whoa, where are these people? Why are these people listening to me, and where are they coming from? And the last time, I can't remember the last time I checked the amount of countries that listened to the show, but I think there was like 91 or 93 or something like that, and I didn't even know there were 93 countries. And I had about 11,000 listens from, in total, that is, right, from Latvia. And I was like, where the hell is Latvia? So I opened Google Maps to find, I'm learning geography as well, you know, as part of this whole escapade. So it's kind of cool. It's really interesting how it's turned out to be.
So you could take it on a world tour and go to all these strange places you've never heard of before.
Yes.
And they're all still waiting for the Indian guy to be funny.
I know, they're all still waiting. They're still waiting for the funny Indian accent. I try and do that sometimes. But yeah.
So you have had the opportunity to speak to and learn from lots of different people. Who are your biggest takeaways, the greatest interviews, or the ones that have made the biggest impact?
Well, for me or for my guests?
For you.
For me. I think the everyday person, for sure. Like, you know, you kind of go and think when you start a podcast that you want to, at least nowadays, because everyone says, I'm going to start a podcast, I'm going to get all these big people on the show. And I don't know how much leverage that has anymore, because you get the really good stuff out of the people that are, you know, in the trenches, or it doesn't matter. You get blindsided by people's stories, because everyone has a story. And it's just about the host finding ways to get those stories out in a way that is relatable to their audience. I think that's the key. For me, the biggest takeaways have been someone noticing something. I mean, we were chatting offline about, you know, Pete Newman and how he just totally schooled me on the food industry, and I never thought of it that way. I never thought about that way.
Which is interesting, coming from someone who's worked in the food world for so long.
That's true. That's true. And I didn't think of, you know, who controlled food and why it was the Minister of Industries and why the Minister of Health isn't involved and all these little things that, again, took for granted. Like, you kind of get, there's so much information out there and there's this information that suddenly gets passed on to you that you go, wow, that's just insane. And then I had this really cool interview with Phil Singos, and that was a very emotional interview where I was so thankful and grateful for my childhood because he didn't have the best one. And all these little things that have these conversations with people, and I had a conversation with David Dugan where he was talking about his time in the military and what that was like, and he broke down, and all these emotional moments that I suppose people stuff away and put it in the corner and I don't know, comfortable enough to share with me. I think those are the moments that really I cherish a lot.
Mm, and I think that even for the audience, because when you can, is one of the things that I find is when you get people talking about the stuff they love, you really don't need to do much. They just kind of, it just comes out. And I think for the listeners, they can hear that passion come through and they can really connect, as opposed to, you know, yes, you get to high profile people and you can ask the set questions, but
yeah,
you're not getting to the real person underneath it.
Yeah, which is true. And also a new observation that I'm finding is that if someone comes on the show and is talking purely about their business and their products and their services, it doesn't turn out to be an engaging episode at all. It turns out to be a very, and it's not their fault. It's the fault of the host of not being able to divert and I suppose make the show about them as a person, because I think that is key.
Well, I have to tell you, my favorite episode of your podcast was the one you did with your dad.
Oh, really? Thank you. That was a very scary one, for sure.
You actually, you sounded a bit scared to start with,
but then you
did relax. And in particular, I like the part where he told you off for not calling him enough.
Yes. I didn't even know how to react to that. It was, again, one of the ones that I was totally vulnerable in that situation, because, you know, in every other situation, you're the host and you can direct conversation. How do you do that with your dad, right?
I think he took over a bit too.
Oh, he totally did. He just, he totally schooled me. And thank you for that, because I think it was probably one of my most vulnerable moments to be able to ask him these questions, because I don't know whether we're close, but didn't ask him these kind of questions, and I knew that he would not hold back. So,
so you're putting yourself in that position. You knew that something was going to happen.
I had a feeling. I didn't actually think that it was about not calling him, but I had a feeling that he would say something, because he knows all my secrets. So,
but then that's also a typical conversation that most parents would probably have with their kids. So, you know, because we could all imagine ourselves in that situation, you know, if we happened to be interviewing our parents, that, yeah, that's probably what they're going to say.
Yeah, I mean, and again, it was one of those things where it didn't strike me. My dad has been really sick for the last, 4 or 5 months. And I don't know, it was just like, there's never been a better time to record someone's thoughts on life and keep it on the internet forever.
Does he realize that?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. I just said, I want to have a chat with you. And he's like, about what? So, yes.
But yeah, no, it was really enlightening. And also just to hear about your background and how you grew up and all that type of stuff. So, as I said, I've listened to many of your podcasts, but that was by far your best.
Thank you very much.
And it was just so real.
Thank you.
So let's just take, now that we've got we do a bit of a switch here, because now you focus really on teaching other people how to have successful podcasts, don't you?
Well, in essence, I'm trying to educate Australia on the importance of having a podcast. If you have a personal brand, a business, or you're an artist or an actor, it doesn't matter what you are. If you have a personal brand or a business of sorts, then having a podcast allows you to reach this potential in various aspects, but a potential of audience which can connect with you. And there's no better way to engage with someone than listening to their voice. So before it becomes the blogging or the YouTube where it's just this, it's oversaturated, I just want more Australian businesses to get involved and more Australian artists to get involved in the podcasting medium. So it's not necessarily teaching people straight up. Sometimes I do that if there's enough people that say, hey, can you please teach me how to, and I'll put together a course. And I'll do that over a period of time, but it's more on a long term, in a long form way. So we do the events, the We Are Podcast events, and we're doing 2016, which is going to be quite, exciting. I don't necessarily have, an intake that I do on a regular basis. It kind of depends on how things go. I suppose I wing everything.
So can anybody podcast, do you reckon?
I think so. But I'm very biased, obviously. I've got so much of success from this medium that I think that it allows you to do a bunch of different things. It allows you to storytell, which... It has definitely allowed me to storytell better. It has allowed me to have better conversations. It has allowed me to have better relationships with, or even make new ones, not only with my guests, but also with people coming onto the show. It's allowed me to have a press pass, which is very weird. And now we're doing the We Are Podcast brand is really producing, podcasts for big corporate clients that I suppose wouldn't have had a podcast if not for us.
With that, you actually go and set their podcast up for them, or what does that do?
Well, it depends on their goals. So we're trying to create an engaging podcast. It's not necessarily about setting it up, but it's more about engagement towards their brand. Mm-hmm. So I wish I could mention names, but they're sort of like big accounting firms and big even councils, as an example. We're dealing with one of the councils in Australia, and they just want to create engagement. That's at the end of the day, that's what a podcast is all about. So it's not only interviews, but it depends. Sometimes it could be a story which gets played over a season. So it could be a 12 episode or a 20 episode season, and we plot the story before and we find enough information about the story to put that together. So different ways. I think it's always right now we're dealing with about three corporate clients, and they're all about the engagement and the story.
So if someone was thinking, they're running their own business, and they're thinking, well, maybe this podcasting stuff might be okay, what would you say were the three or four essential things that someone needs to understand or do to actually start a podcast and be successful at it? Because there's no point doing all this stuff if really you're not going to go anywhere, is there? There has to be an end game to this. There's got to be a strategy around it.
Oh, absolutely. I think starting... the start should be just the conceptualization of the podcast. Like, why do you want to create it? Who's going to listen? And if these people are going to listen, what's the best form in allowing them to get the information that you think they need? What are their secret fears? Why is it that they would want to listen to your podcast? And where would they listen to it? Would they have enough time? And there's no point creating a 5-minute podcast for someone who wants to listen to a story, as an example. There's no point creating a 2.5-hour podcast if your listeners only have 30 minutes to drive to work. Conceptualization of your podcast is key. I cannot stress that enough. People worry about the wrong stuff. They ask me this a lot. Honestly, what kind of mic should I buy? I'm like, dude, don't worry about the mic. That's the last thing you should worry about. But not to say that audio quality is something that you shouldn't pay attention to. Definitely pay attention to that. There are podcasters out there that have suggested just using a lapel mic, and I disagree with that. Or just using one of those you know, headsets with have the weird thing coming from the side of your ear.
That you can hear everyone breathing into.
Yes, that's the one. And that you sound like Darth Vader on the other side. And it's very difficult to tell the person that that's how they sound. So I think the first bit is for sure the conceptualization of the show. And I'm only going to give two because I think these are the two most important ones. Conceptualize your show really well and follow the 80-20 rule of podcasting. That's 20% is production and 80% is marketing.
So explain that a little bit more.
Okay. So a lot of people think that when they start a podcast that they produce the podcast and everyone's going to come and listen to them, right? So, but they don't understand that it is something that you've produced and that's great, but people got to know about it. You got to market it. So marketing is really, really important.
So how is the best way, do you feel, to market? I mean, I know that, I mean, I do market mine, and one of the main ways is actually obviously through the guests because they have their own followers. Is there other ways that you can market it that you see that that people will actually take action?
It really depends on the industry. I don't think that guests on your show anymore, at least. I don't think they do any marketing for you. Initially, that used to be the thing when guests were like, I suppose very few interviews were being done with certain people, but now everyone's getting asked to do an interview every now and then. So it's like, how much can they actually, put out to their people? So I don't know whether that's a strategy anymore. I think that they would do that if it's a really awesome conversation that they've landed up having with the host. But again, even that's not, I don't know. It's not like it used to be any back in the day. But social media obviously is a big one. But just getting your show notes right is huge, which people don't pay attention to, because Google cannot see into your audio file. Mm. So if you get your show notes right, then you over time, even organically, over time your SEO is going to go through the roof, which is what you want. Then having like an ecosystem, a product ecosystem in place where it doesn't have to be for money, but it just has to be for engagement, where if someone has come to your website and clicked on it, you got to know how to target them again. And Facebook's got a really good retargeting platform. And then how do you talk to them to sign up for your email list as an example? And again, you don't have to sell on your email list, but you can let the people on your email list know when new episodes come out because they really want to know, because they've gone through the process of actually caring about what you do. So I think that's a straightforward way to do it. But, you know, every couple of months there's a new social media platform with new ways of doing
things.
Yeah.
So really what you're saying is that you treat your podcast as the same as you would any product line or your business. You know, you need to identify who your target market is, you know, what their pains are, when they're going to listen to you, all of that that you normally do with an ideal client avatar. Mm-hmm. And you basically just treat it, it's just another product that you're putting out there targeting a particular part of the market.
Absolutely. And there's a big difference between your ideal listener and your ideal customer. Mm. They're not the same by any stretch of the imagination. So first make that distinction. And absolutely, your podcast is part of your ecosystem. It's part of your product line. It's what defines you. It's part of your brand. So use it to allow that to happen, to allow... if you think about it, if someone doesn't have a podcast, they don't have much to market, right? They're on social media and saying, hey, check me out, go to my website, check me out, go to my website. But if they have a podcast, they have, you know, regular content that they're updating, then you can actually tell people about relevant stuff that they would really care about. So it's such a huge advantage to have regular content going out.
So you ran an event at the end of last year that was very, very successful, and you're running it again in 2016, which is great because I couldn't come to last year's. So talk to us about that.
You can blame Andrew Griffiths for this because, it was never on my radar. It was not on my radar at all. And I had breakfast with him, I think it was end of February or early March. And we were chatting, and he said to me, "If you might as well be the first one to do it." And I'm like, "Do what?" And he planted the seed. And when he planted the seed, it consumed me. It took me over. And I decided that, I really wanted to have the first podcasting conference in the Southern Hemisphere. And it was kind of cool that we managed to have that and make that happen, and had some really awesome speakers. We had 17 over, you know, a day and a half, and everyone had fun, which is good.
And we're on again. Have you set the dates for 2016?
Yeah, I think it's 7th and 8th of October.
Oh, I better put that into my diary.
Yeah, and it's going to be 2 full days this year, because apparently there was too much information for the day and a half, and so we're going to spread that out. But we're going to have, I have it written here somewhere, this year I think it is 35 speakers.
Ooh, so you're going to give even more information.
Yeah.
You might have to do this over a week.
I think over time, but what we're doing really, this year is going to be really cool for a variety of reasons. What we're doing is we're having a speakers retreat for only speakers the day before, so on the 6th, because what I was noticing is that all these speakers were of such high caliber. They didn't have these conversations with other people before, and they were having these great conversations over the speakers dinner and over breakfast the next morning, and I was like, wow, you know, I'm sure these guys would love to be in the same room together, or just have a relaxing time together to exchange ideas of what's coming up for the next year and stuff like that. So this year we're going to have a speakers retreat, and I'm looking forward to that, because I think that's going to change how how things are delivered on the next couple of days. So yeah, that's what we're looking forward to.
So, for you, you are really a serial ideas person, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for pain.
But are you having fun?
I'm totally having fun,
so,
yes.
So, isn't that the most important thing? If you're having fun, that's all you need to be doing. That's what life's about.
Yes, and I'm pretty lucky. Again, I don't think we realize, and I'm very grateful to be in Australia, because I don't think that this would have been possible in India, for sure, because the flexibility that I have here to pivot and turn and try new things and all that kind of stuff is very unique, and very lucky to be here.
So what's next for Ronsley? Or are you just trying to get through this year?
Angela, you know this about me. I wing everything, and something pops up, and you know, I land up jumping on it or learning that I should pay more attention to something else. I don't know is the short answer. I think 2016, with the kind of speakers that we're talking to right now, we're getting a lot of international speakers this year, and like big names, which I could only dream of having these conversations. I never even thought of having these conversations with anyone, with these kind of people before, at least. So I think I'm just enjoying the process of putting something like this together. Yeah. I'd love for us to be able to have better structure when it comes to the marketing side of things, because last year it was not as smooth as I'd liked it to be. I would really like to have professional MC this year. Last year I did it myself, and it was horrible.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't.
I know my strengths and weaknesses, and you know, I definitely am not an MC. So just these little things that we've learned over time. At the end of December, we did a 2-day workshop for people who wanted a podcast, and that was another learning curve. It was the first time I ran something like that, so we took only 6 people. We did a beta run, and we took away all the obstacles that a podcaster faces. So we bought their hardware for them. We made sure by the end of the 2 days they recorded, they edited, and published their first episode. So that was a huge, I suppose, it was a lot to take on, because that was a lot of promises that I was putting across, and I'm glad that came through. So maybe something more stuff like that would be cool. I don't know, to be honest. I'm taking things as they come.
We'll just see what wings past in the next few months, eh? We'll just pretty watch this space.
Watch this space, yes.
So if people do want to watch this space and they're interested in finding out more about what you do, what is coming up, and I mean, you've been dropping so many hints about that event that I'm sure that there's a few people who are really keen to be part of it.
Yes.
So where can people find out about what you do? Where's the best place for them to go?
Well, facebook.com/Ronsley is my page. So, you know, say hello, add me as a friend. Twitter, on Twitter, we have, I think, about, I want to say 25,000 people on Twitter at We Are Podcast. So add us on Twitter, at We Are Podcast. And I suppose there are a whole bunch of other social media platforms. I think we've got about 4,500 or 5,000 people on Instagram, at We Are Podcast as well. But I suppose for Facebook, facebook.com/Ronsley.
And of course, they should all be listening to your podcast, shouldn't they?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, they should.
Which is Bon Appetit.
There's a new one coming out next week. It's called Should I Start a Podcast? I think that's, I want to say Tuesday. I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday. So it's releasing on Tuesday. We're in January, but I think it is the 11th of January when that releases. So yeah, check
that
one out.
By the time this goes live, it'll already be out there, and they can go and have a listen to that one as well.
Yes, definitely.
Well, definitely. I want to thank you for joining me today. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you. And I want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And if you've loved this episode and you've loved the things that Ronsley had to say, if you've got any questions, comments, please leave them over on the website, www.angelacouncil.com, or pop over to iTunes and leave us a rating over there, because I'd love to hear what you think about it. And while you're over there, please subscribe, or you can subscribe on Stitcher for those of you who are using an Android just like I am. So until next week, when we have another guest where I'm going to be learning so much more. This is what I love about these. The best thing about podcasts is meeting all of these great people. So if you want to hear more about what people are doing in business and how they're creating businesses and lives that they love, join us next week. And until then, from my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Bye for now. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.